The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America. This is Beyond Networking. And now, here's your host, Ron Sukenik.
Well, hello and welcome to Beyond Networking, being with Ron Sukenik. And I am Ron Sukenik, and I am so glad that you can join us. And you know, we often state every week that if we're going to take any kind of business networking to another level, we have to move into this thing called relationship, right? Everybody hears about it. Whether you're a repeat listener or new to the program, you know how important this thing called relationship is. Now, the question is always the same. How do you define one? How do you know if you've got one in place? And if I'm going to create impact at the point of interaction, do I have a strategy that I can put in place? Now, my question to everybody today is are you familiar with this term called relationship economy? Are you participating in it? Are you aware that there's this emergence of this thing called relationship economy? And this morning, I am thrilled to have two of the four authors that have come together to collaborate on talking to us about a new book that you're going to learn a lot about if you haven't, titled The Emergence of the Relationship Economy. So let me share and jump right into it. Who do we have on the phone today? I've got Jay Darragon, considered, and by the way, Carter F. Smith, both considered to be premier entrepreneur thought leaders in the dynamic social networking space and this emerging industry of social networks. Jay Darragon, his blog, relationship-economy.com, serves as a reference point for the emerging industry of social networks and has had a successful career as a serial entrepreneur, founding and operating and selling several businesses and operating a wide spectrum of industries. Also a co-founder and managing partner of Link to the World. Carter, a very similar, long bio resume as an educator, trainer, strategic networker, and facilitator. Background in government, served our country, been in both the non-profit and for-profit industries, and a senior partner to Link to the World. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on the show. Good morning.
Thank you, Ron. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ron.
And my God, what a the emergence of the relationship economy. Gentlemen, this is a 23-chapter book that is enormous. And I want to backtrack just a moment because it looks as though you've got a collaboration with Link to the World, which from a vision standpoint is your willingness to contribute to the edification, integrity, and efficiency of the social web. Can you take us back to how that came together and then how the collaboration evolved out of that into this book?
Sure, I'll take the lead on that one. This is Jay Darragon. It's ironic, but the fact that Carter and I and Margaret Oram and Scott Allen actually met through social networking. Primarily, it started out with LinkedIn. That was several years ago. And both of us being, how would I say, moving on in years, if you would, said there's a lot of activity here and a lot of new dynamics in the space that have a meaning. And all of us are, you know, a quest to learn. We love to learn. So we embarked on sharing amongst the four of us what our thoughts, our opinions, looking at the space in the global perspective. And originally, this started out as a collective effort to do research and publish research. Okay. So the four of us looked at different pieces of the total space and started putting together the research. And the more research we did, the more we realized, my word, this is a book. It's more than just research. And it's a book that it will evolve over time with different editions. So we shifted to writing a book. Well, given that the technology is out there to collaborate online, to communicate, to share, to build things together, we actually wrote this book in, what, Carter, 6 months, 7 months?
Give or take, yeah. It was including editing. I think we were in and out in 6 months.
And so we put together the book, and our thoughts over that period of time, which really is unheard of to publish a book of this nature. And today, even every day, we all collaborate and discuss what we found when we wrote the book compared to where we are today, and we discover new things. So subsequent to doing the book, we formed an organization called Link to Your World, which models the book in terms of the world is virtual. You can do business virtually as long as you have the right relationships.
Okay, so when you have a mission of Link to the World is to help its clients minimize learning curves and enable them and their organizations to be established leaders within chosen markets. So how did you want to take on that big of a mission? My God, that's a big mission, isn't it, Jay?
Yeah, it is. And Carter, why don't you respond to that one first?
I was just thinking about that as you were doing the introduction on why it is we bit off such a large piece. And I think it wasn't that we set out to take a 5,000 mile altitude snapshot of it, but we kept looking at each smaller piece and said, no, that's not enough, no, that's not enough, and kept going. Jay essentially, Ron, in case you haven't figured it out, is like the Paul Revere of the relationship economy.
Paul Revere, okay, I like that.
As it was with Mr. Revere, he saw something coming that nobody else seemed to see. Very few people did, but nobody in an organized fashion, and said, you know what? I need to do everything in my power to be able to corral this energy and let people awaken on as to what's coming. And in that vein, when he put together the kind of an outline for the book, I looked at it and I said, well, that's a lot of stuff we got to talk about. But the beautiful thing is it was all there for the seeing as long as it was in an organized framework. So I think that was the key to the design, actually.
And of course, Paul Revere stated, one if by land, two if by sea. And so what do you say, Jay?
I say one-to-one, and we can become the new economy.
We become the new economy. So let's dig a little deeper into this. And by the way, look, I'm sure a lot of people listening, including the both of you, are familiar with Robert Putnam's book, Bowling Alone, where he had talked through his research, a steady decline of social capital. And it seemed as though when social capital, this glue that kind of keeps people and community together, is way down, that it helps people to become somewhat more vulnerable. And I don't mean defenseless. It seems like today, gentlemen, people are so open to this thing called connection. I mean, the emergence of a relationship economy. How long has that emergence been happening?
Well, actually, if you go back to the beginning of time and Adam and Eve, it started about a relationship, and in their context, they had a relationship with God that had certain boundaries on it.
Okay, I got it. So you're taking me back to Adam and Eve days.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we go forward to today, jump forward to today, in the history of mankind and human behavior. Everything has been either produced or struggled over or fought over based on relationships. And the medium, or the means, if you will, of those struggles has been technology, whether it be a smoke fire or whether it be all the way to today to using the Internet.
Yeah, and of course, you often state that the web is steadily becoming a utility of the masses, so we're familiar with using the web for communicating, surfing, shopping, and receiving information, but this concept of building relationships on the Internet sometimes, isn't it somewhat daunting, but yet there are so many social platforms developing?
Yes, it can be very daunting because, you know, depending on your age, there's a lot of factors that come into play, but your age, your experience, that dauntingness can either restrain you or engage you, because you never know out of any one relationship. I mean, I bet you between Carter and I, we're connected directly to 30,000 plus people in different networks, and you say, well, people can say, why would I, the argument about why would I be want to be connected to 30,000 versus just a few? It's an individual choice, but you never, ever know what can come out of a relationship.
Oh, I hear you. And by the way, the book, which is amazing. I mean, it's 23 chapters. They look like there are 21 different factors, whether it's time factors, knowledge factors, relationship factors, economic, I mean, all kinds of factors, and we'll go through a couple of them, but let's step back if we can for a moment. So we have a book, The Emergence of the Relationship Economy. How do you define this thing called relationship economy?
Scott, do you want to take a shot?
Sure. The relationship economy, and it's a transforming definition. It's a transforming use of the term, because as we go forward with it, it's as more people get engaged, the definition is going to change, and it is going to be more along the lines of something that we see as opposed to something we define. The relationship economy is an environment in which lots of people can operate doing lots of different things with common ground, with unity. And it's you mentioned the daunting network connections that we're building, or the opportunity to build those network connections. Relationships are increasing power. When you and I and Jay get together on a phone call, we're going to think about a whole lot more than if one of us sat over on the couch with a remote without a remote and just thought about stuff. We can bounce ideas off of each other. We're simply seeing and doing. We as individuals are simply seeing and doing what many corporations have been seeing and doing whenever a simple partnership isn't enough. So our networking, which is a natural human phenomenon, our networking isn't really that big. It's just that viral when it all boils down to it.
Okay, so getting back to this thing called relationship economy, so it sounds like it's the people and things that we're connected with in our personal networks. So how do I, as an individual business person that goes and loves this thing called joy of interaction, I go out and I network and I'm meeting people, how do I really get this thing called relationship economy? Because it's a new term for many people. I don't know that many people are actually thinking that they're in this relationship economy. Are you sensing that, guys?
I'll take that one first. The term relationship economy has actually been around for years, and it really sparked out of conversations and work done by Doc Searles from the Clue Train Manifesto.
Right.
And the relationship economy, when you boil it down to, is how do I use my time and my relationships to produce value? Value for whom? You can introduce value for yourself or value for others. And when you connect to people virtually, the objective really is to find out what is the common objectives that we agree on, or we are akin to, if you will, or have an affinity with, and how can I help you, or you help me, or we help a bunch, move those objectives forward? How do we make progress? It's a lot like in the old days when you were in corporations or businesses. It's bringing the employees together and saying, here's what we want to accomplish, and here's how we're going to do it, or here's some ideas on how to do it. The difference between that model and today's model is that I can go, here's what I want to do, and here's how I'm thinking about do it, and I can ask 30,000 people at the click of a mouse, what do you think? And they, in turn, can give me feedback that can be both positive and or negative and help me learn how to accomplish something more effectively.
Okay, so the ability to reach the masses. So, let's stay on this for a moment. So sure, the emergence of this economy, the convergence of technology, which accelerates this power of relationship, and we understand that. But again, help me out, gentlemen. Are people thinking about it more today than any other time in history? I mean, are you sensing this?
Carter?
Absolutely. As Jay said earlier, the world is virtual. And how many times can you conduct business outside of your town without leaving your town? It used to be we had to have a physical presence, and we couldn't negotiate with somebody. We could do a phone call, but it just didn't feel right. Nowadays, when you set up a profile in any of the social networks, be it Facebook, LinkedIn, Link to Your World, whatever, you set up that profile, and there's a little thing more personal than just being on the phone. I'll give you an example. Jay alluded to this, but the four of us who wrote this book hadn't met before we started writing the book. And the main reason Jay and I first met was because we lived about an hour from each other, but that's not how we met. That's just that just facilitated it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, in previous years, decades, or whatever, in order to get to know somebody, you had to know something about them and then converse with them. Jay, in the first day that I met Jay, I also met with two other people on that north side of town where he lives. And the first one I'd known for 15 years, and he and I started off the conversation with, hey, I understand this and this and this is going on in your life, because we're connected by Facebook. When Jay and I talked, A, I didn't have to say, excuse me, sir, are you Jay Darragon, when I walked into the club. And second off, we hit the ground running on our conversation, and it wasn't like we hadn't introduced ourselves. Well, so how long you been doing this? What are your interests? That's all there. It catalyzes the relationship process.
Right.
The third person I met with, I had very little in common and wasn't connected anywhere, and most of our two-hour-long meeting was getting to know each other, and that's hard to do when you're just now meeting, especially when you had two previous meetings just like I described.
Love that. So, and you know, as people, we want affiliation. As human beings, we want this thing called relationships. So, and I don't want to get hung up on this, but you know, everybody talks about this thing called relationship. The question is it now? Has the revolution now begun to where people are going to do something about it? What's your take on that, Jay?
Well, it's my take is this. In the using the term swarms, there's 700 million people using the social web. There's 1.4 billion who are on the internet, and so roughly half of them are on the social aspect of it. And every single day, that number is growing rapidly because of the power it gives people to accomplish things. When you accomplish things, you create an economy. Either you save time or you make more time for somebody else. Plus, you can turn around and create commerce. So, in a broad perspective, this is a magnet that has a very strong attraction, and many are saying that it is similar to the Industrial Revolution, when all of a sudden mass production of goods back then, people didn't know how to consume it. All of a sudden, people were now using telephones to communicate and had to adapt to it. Today, it's being accelerated day by day because of the abilities that this social web enables us to do, and thus creating a new economy.
Okay, so it's not even a question that this emergence will have an especially profound effect on business and individuals. Let's move into business for a moment. Talk to me about these large corporations. What is their take on the emergence of this relationship economy, and how are they utilizing it to build their business, as an example?
Well, let me frame it and then pass it to Carter to finish, because I think this is a critical question in the eyes of the market.
Okay, good.
So I'll frame it by saying this. Let's look at the current times that we're in. We're in a presidential election. We're in a global war against terrorism. We're seeing prices of energy skyrocketing. We're seeing dual-income families trying to find time to survive and pay their mortgages and pay for the gas.
Are you trying to depress me, Jay, or are you just telling me it's the way it is?
It is the way it is, but that's a tipping point to find better ways to do things,
okay,
better ways
good.
To relate. So that tipping point says is this. Look, as Carter put in perspective, we'd never met. I never left my house until we decided to meet. But guess what? 12 hours a day, I don't get in my car and go anywhere. I step into my office in my home, and I'm working globally. So from a corporation's perspective, you want to be more efficient and more effective. You need to help people become more efficient and more effective. And the social web and all these tools enable companies to do that. A point being made here, those companies who think differently. Carter?
Yeah, and that's where I was going with it as well. You asking initially, do people get it? Are they going to? And do corporations get it? Are they engaging in the relationship economy? As Jay mentioned, the market is ready for change, but the problem is not everybody understands that change is A, imminent, and B, necessary. Those that want to be in tomorrow's market need to be ready for the relationship economy. I won't go into stuff that I can just reference. You'll find that I often just suggest things. It's the academic in me. But if you'll Google this phrase,
Google. Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
the nail hurt bad enough. If you Google that phrase, the very top link is a link to my blog post, and that'll tell you when people and corporations will engage in a relationship economy. The nail hurt bad enough, N-A-I-L, hurt bad enough.
Oh, I love that.
Here's the essence of the, and I'm not going to even touch on that message because that's an entirely different thought process and we'd be here for an hour, I think you'll get it. The essence of when corporations are going to get it is when they, if they have stockholders, get a phone call, like some of them are now, saying, you know what, here's the deal. You can either get on board or you can get run over. You can either get to change the corporate mindset. You can work on that whole stagnated culture that you've had for all these years, like we've been telling you, because we aren't impressed with your profits. But now, as we have to get leaner in this economy for whatever reason, here's the solution. The solution is to find out how to build relationships. That's how these corporations started anyway. Go back in the history of business. Corporations didn't just miraculously appear with hundreds of people working together for a common goal. It was a guy having a conversation with another guy, with a gal obviously supervising him, and then they decided that the three of them needed to be in some kind of partnership, and on and on and on. They started with the relationships, but they've wandered away, and if they don't come back, they won't be back.
Oh, this is so perfect, and Jay, I noticed on your blog this morning where you talk about Microsoft and Yahoo are back at the negotiating table. So that's got to be the peer pressure. That's got to be somebody on the Yahoo side saying, let's get back to the table with Microsoft. Is that what you're meaning, Carter?
Absolutely. The essence of it is, if the decision makers in the company aren't going to make the right decision, put it in quotes, then somebody will make that decision for them. And if they're in business, it'll probably be their stockholders or perhaps a couple of the vice presidents maybe come up with a coup plan or something like that. The alternative is the market will make the decision for them, and no matter how big they are, they won't be around in current form in the future. You can play see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil all you want. It's not going away.
I would like to add to that, Ron.
Oh, please do.
That you bring up a very critical point in the emergence of the relationship economy, and that is the battle that is going on today between, and I want to put this in perspective, Microsoft, Google, and the social networks of the world. Microsoft has been part of this relationship economy with all the technology. But if you note that the battle has always been about closed walls, being able to access and use different tools but across different other tools. That's Doc Searle's whole message. Google and Microsoft are the power kings. So when we think about networking, and we think about the internet, it needs to become more and more open. Google launches Open Social, starts to break down the walls a little bit. Microsoft looks at it and says, whoa. So here's what's my perception of, at least, we the people, the users, are gaining a ton of influence and a ton of power. The more open the internet becomes, the more powerful we become collectively. That power goes up against the old school thinking of power. And that power in the old school, whether it be a corporation, whether it be Microsoft, or a small business, is control. And so mankind is going, the people are going, we don't want any more control. We've been controlled since the beginning of time. We want freedom. And so the battle before us is over control. And we, the people, in a very short period of time, 600, 700 million people, are learning this new freedom of, I have control. This is my network. This is my blog. This is my video. I want it.
You're taking me back to the Declaration of Independence. You've already brought me back to Adam and Eve. And for those listening, we're talking to two of the four authors of The Emergence of the Relationship Economy by Scott Allen, Jay Darragon, Margaret Orem, and Carter Smith, of which we have both Jay and Carter on the podcast with us today. Gentlemen, let me ask you this, and we certainly run out of time, but I just got to ask this. Look, the book analyzes the factors that are influencing an emergency economy based on a sum of factors, okay? And it is driving massive and significant changes to the way everybody will work and play and live. There are 23 chapters in this book. I know it's available in hard copy. It's an e-book. Out of the 23 chapters, if I'm correct, I think there are 21 factors. Let me start with you, Jay, if I can, and then go to Carter. Which factor is most intriguing to you and why, Jay?
That's a very good question, and it's been posed at me numerous times.
I'm sure it has.
And the question has been posed in this way. Which factor is most important? And my constant response is, it depends on where you are at, and whether you're a business or an individual. There is no one silver bullet factor that solves all your problems or gives you everything you need. But there is a combination of factors that you, the individual, the company, must figure out to gain the effectiveness and efficiency.
Okay,
and
so go back to you, Jay Darragon. Now,
yes.
I don't know, in your life, where you're at today, out of all this research and 21 factors, I'm curious, which one is intriguing you the most? Is it technology? Is it economic? Is it media? Is it gender? Anything stand out for you?
Yeah, I'll give you that answer. And it's probably the overriding factor, the learning factor.
The learning factor, I got it.
Because if I don't learn about what all of this means and where is it going and how do I use it to my advantage and the advantage of those that I relate to, then I'm really not gaining efficiency or effectiveness. I'm stumbling all over the place.
So all these factors then are coming into they're in combination with one another and they affect one another, no doubt. And certainly there's no substitute for facts, information, and knowledge. So the learning factor, Carter, help me out here. Out of all these factors, I don't care what's most important. I'm curious, what intrigues you the most and why?
Ron, it's funny because the learning factor was one of the ones that I was responsible for, and that being Jay's focus. Mine is actually the planning factors, and that's one of the ones that Jay did. And the reason for that is yes, I enjoy learning, and my focus is education of people, not necessarily anything less than that, but just pushing them to find new learning opportunities and the drive that comes with that. But the planning factors intrigue me the most because they incorporate a lot of the others, but they still, there's that individual piece that Jay spoke of. And it's the synergy that comes together when two or more people plan out where they're going and focus on what they're going to do. And it's funny to see how that changes on the fly. And only when you get the whole message of the relationship economy will that cease to bother you. As an example, if the three of us had started out planning on talking about A, B, and C, and we never hit any of those, we ended up over in X and worked on Y and Z, I think based on our brief conversations that wouldn't trouble you at all. You just kind of let the flow go. But that devastates some people, and individuals and companies, when the plan didn't come, when the outline didn't get touched. Wait, we got to go back and do this. That's not the way it is in web time. That's not the way it will be in the relationship economy.
Well, I'll tell you, this book is a great foundational resource for individuals and certainly entities and governments and people in business. I love this conversation. In fact, I'm anxious to dig deeper into it, of course, but it won't be on today's podcast because we're running a little bit out of time. But let me, I know that we've got a book that begins, it has these factors, there's a conclusion. I don't know. Are we prepared to give us a conclusion right now, guys? Or do we wait for another podcast to come up with that? What's your take?
Conclusion on the book or conclusion on this conversation?
No, let's go right to the conclusion of the book. Is there an ending that I need to know, or is it just it seems like it's ever-changing?
Well,
this economy.
That is the conclusion. Unless things change, they're likely to remain the same. And I don't know how many people you know who want to make things better, not keep them the same.
Oh,
so things will change.
Okay, so it's evolving, it's changing, and that is the conclusion. So for those interested, and certainly I'm sure many of you are, If you want to reach out to the authors and contact them individually by looking them up, go to LinkedIn, go to Facebook. We've been speaking this morning with two of the four authors, Jay Deragon, D-E-R-A-G-O-N, Carter Smith, S-M-I-T-H. I'm sure there's maybe just one, maybe two Carter Smiths. Both of them are partners and founders of Link to Your World. Both of them are part of a collaboration team along with Scott Allen and Margaret Orham. Gentlemen, and let me go ahead, let me go back to you for a moment. Whenever we leave the show, Jay, I always like to leave the audience with a thinking point. I call them thinking points for connecting forward. And then we'll go from you, Jay, to Carter. But, Jay, what would you like to leave the audience thinking about this morning?
I would like to leave the audience with this thought. If you could change anything in your life that would create the most value, what would it be? What relationships would it be? And what things would it be? And where would you find them?
Wow. I love it. I love that. And Carter, any thinking points you can leave for the audience?
Yeah, first a clarification, if I could, Ron. There are actually several, 110 it appears, Carter Smiths on LinkedIn. So look for Carter.
Yeah, help me out. That's a great 110 Carter Smiths. So we got to go to Carter F. How many Carter F. Smiths are there then?
I'm LinkedIn.com/whatever/whatever Carter F. Smith, CarterFSmith. I'm everythingintheworld.com. Anyway, thinking points for connecting forward. Here's mine. If you see the relationship economy as simply a relationship or economic opportunity, you missed the point. The good news is there's still time to get it.
Wow. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. As a reminder for everybody, go to www.linktoyourworld.com. You'll see the authors there. Get connected to them, whether it's on Facebook or LinkedIn. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to get better connected with our listening audience. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Networking. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.